Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen, amen. You may be seated. Well, we've got a real treat for you today. Come on up, brother. You're going to be able to hear from our children's and youth pastor, Pastor Austin. And I want to acknowledge somebody very special to you. You've got your mother-in-law with you today. Yes. Amanda's mother is here. I want to honor her today. Thank you so much for coming. It's good to have you. All right, you ready to go?
I think so.
You think so? All right, well, let's praise God that they are here, and let's just welcome him with a good praise.
Yeah, I decided to bring my greatest critic with me today for the last 3 years. Thank you, Lisa, for raising the most wonderful woman in the world. So, before I start, I would like to say, if you volunteer with our children, our youth, preschool, elementary, all the way up till they graduate high school, and you have not heard from me about our meeting next Sunday right after the service, please come see myself after service, and so I can kind of tell you more about it. I think I've reached out to everyone, but it's a good problem. We have so many volunteers, you know, so let's have a hand for that. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, the title today is Faith Like a Child. That's what I titled the sermon this morning. And, you know, I wrote this as more of an encouraging sermon, but as I was writing this, the victims of Uvalde were on my heart. And, you know, sorry, I'm emotional. You know, God gave me the passion and the calling to serve children. And many of you here serve those children. Told myself I wasn't going to cry. I can't do it. You know, this is very personal for me, and many of you here are teachers. My wife is a teacher, and, you know, we had 18 children lose their life. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. But... Thank you. We had 18 children, 3 teachers lose their life. And, you know, life is just precious. And those children, those innocent children, they're precious. And so I had them on my mind this week as I wrote this. Okay, let me get a sip of water. Let's gather myself here. But what I want to do today is I want to talk about children, life in general, in 3 phases. But the first one I want to talk about is life from the beginning. Life is sacred from the beginning. Life is sacred. And we're going to explore Scripture today, and it says, how do we know that? What does Scripture say about life being sacred even from the beginning? We know that this is a hot-button issue in today's society, and so I'm just going to show you what Scripture says about it. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not here to give you an opinion piece. I'm not here to get on my soapbox and tell you what you should think. I'm going to tell you what Scripture says about it. So I believe we're supposed to have Psalm 139 up here, and I'd like to read it. It says, "For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb." And I think we have verse 14. "I will give thanks to you, For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. This right here, these verses right here show us that all life is sacred. All life is sacred. Verse 13 says, you formed me in my mother's womb. Not only is life sacred, not only did God have a part in creating us, God creatively designed and uniquely designed each and every individual. You know, God, the society looks at things as mistakes, as inconveniences. Sometimes they even looked at them as they're not a life. And God doesn't make mistakes. Humans, life is not inconvenient to God. Right? We know that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son to die for us. That's how precious life is. And not only is that life precious, it says, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That song we sung said, thank God that his goodness was not based on anything that I've done.
Amen.
It's based on who he is. And another thing is that Jesus himself came as a child. Jesus could have came as a man and served his 3 years and done all those wonderful things, and he still would be Jesus. He would still be the Son of God. He would still be our Savior. But God decided to send his son as a child in the womb to be born of a woman. There's significance behind that. Again, God doesn't make mistakes. God, every detail, every creative, unique design of the universe, of history, of humans, it's all intentional because life is sacred. In Luke chapter 1, verse 39, it says, now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the baby in the womb leapt at the greeting of Jesus. The baby in the womb was giving a testimony. The baby in the womb was evangelizing. And not only was the baby in the womb full of life, it was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby in the womb knew who Jesus was and was praising and worshiping him in the womb. Life is precious from the beginning. Life is sacred from the beginning. And if we can have that foundation of life and how significant it is, it only continues to grow in its significance. When a child is born and they're an infant, it only grows in significance. Life is precious. We've got to invest in our children. I don't have to sit here and tell you the arrows that the enemy is flinging at our children today and our teenagers. I don't have to sit here and list them because you know them. We know. They're called hot button issues, and they're labeled as these things that are not important, and you need to keep religion out of it, and you need to do no. These are flaming arrows that the enemy is pointing directly at our children and our teenagers. And if we are not active, if we are not there to invest, if we are not there to protect, if we are not there to disciple these children, the world is gonna have them so confused. They're going to have them dragged down. See, children are just as valuable and important in the kingdom of God. They're just as valuable as anyone else. But maybe they're even more valuable. See, we saw the value that Scripture places on children within the womb. But what does Scripture say about children once they're outside of the womb? Well, Matthew chapter 19 says, then some children were brought to him being Jesus, so that he may lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. If we go back to verse 13, it says, then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. This was a realization for the first time. I've read this passage, I can't tell you how many times, and the realization was these parents were intentionally bringing their children in the presence of Jesus. They wanted to bring their children to Jesus and show them, this is Jesus. And all they wanted him to lay his hands on him. Some of them just wanted him to pray. They knew the power of Jesus. They knew the love of Jesus. They knew what Jesus had come to do. They knew how much Jesus loved these children. And they brought them in the presence of Jesus. We've got to bring our children in the presence of Jesus. Right? We got to bring them here. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that church saves you, because it doesn't. Only Jesus saves you. But bringing them to a faith community that loves and dotes on them and shows them the love of Christ, shows them what Christ has done for them, shows them the truth of Christ. That's what we have to do. If we want them to have the shield of faith to defend themselves from the arrows, if we want them to have that shield of faith to be able to learn and to grow and to have that faith that can withhold, that can withstand, we have to bring them. And also that discipleship happens at home. We've got to pour into our children at home. We've got to tell them who Jesus is, the love of Jesus. We have to show them who the love of Jesus is. And I'm going to encourage you, bring your children to Father's Vineyard, because there are a ton, I think I counted over 55, and there's probably more, volunteers that pour into your children and youth, that want them to grow, that want them to know who Jesus is, that want them to know the love of Jesus. So I'm here to encourage, I'm here to praise the workers who have put in the work here. You know, the Bible says that the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. But we have so many workers here who have invested their time and their energy into making sure that, like Darren said, that they're safe, but also that they're learning the power of Jesus. They're learning who Jesus is. You know, in kids' church, they show these crazy, funny videos, and they laugh, and they joke, and the adults laugh with them. But it always has a point. There's always a point. There's always this moment where we realize this is about Jesus. This is about what Jesus has done for you and for me. But you'll hear society say that religion has no place, that it's false, that it goes against science. Their favorite word right now is indoctrination. We're indoctrinating, you're indoctrinating the children. It's not indoctrination. When we bring our children to church, when we tell them about Jesus, when we sit down and read scripture with them, it's not indoctrination, it's love. It's not indoctrination, it's discipleship. It's showing them that this is important. This isn't something that's just that we believe and it would be cool if you believe it. No, this is something we must believe. This is the only path to salvation. It's necessary. If we go to Matthew 18, which is just the chapter right before that we just covered in 19. I think if it's on the screen. Is it working? Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. Okay, I think we're having... Okay. I'm going to read it here. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Oh, there we go. We must realize the value of children. Scripture has made it clear. Not only are children important, not only is life sacred, there is a charge by Jesus to become like little children. And you may hear that and you say, why should I be like children? My children fight. My children are jealous. My children wants the toy that other child has. My children bite. My children kick. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of adults that do the same thing. But if you were to watch, we have a one-year-old, we have a two-year-old, we have a six-year-old with us now, we have an eight-year-old with us. But if you were to watch two-year-olds play together, you see that there is unconditional love. There's love, there's so much unconditional love there. Kids that are playing together, there's no racism. There's no prejudice. They just want to play. They want to have a good time. They want to have fun. Yes, there is sometimes there's jealousy. Sometimes I want this toy and there's selfishness. But it shows us a perfect picture of how we're supposed to be. We have sin that's still within us. We battle sin every day. Like Charlie said, we have spiritual warfare that we are battling every day. But what if we loved unconditionally like children? What if we didn't have to know why someone is upset? What if we didn't have to know why someone acted this way? What if we just cried with them? What if we just sat with them, spent time with them? So many of us, when I say us, I mean the world, many, many people, when someone is upset, when someone's crying, when someone's asking for help, the first question is why? Well, what's going on? Because we have to justify why we're sacrificing our time to help them. And we don't want to help those who we feel like don't need to be helped. But children don't care. If someone's upset, if another child is upset, they want to help that child. They don't care if the child just slapped someone and was in timeout. They want to help that child. They don't want that child to cry. I see that in my own son. Titus, he'll have a toy taken from him, and he gets upset, and I'll get the toy, and I'll give it back to him, and the other child will get upset, and he goes and gives the toy right back to the child. And I'm thinking, imagine if we loved like that. Right? Jesus says, if someone asks you for your coat, give them your jacket too. He says, if they ask you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Jesus is asking us to love unconditionally. He's saying that love takes sacrifice. And he's saying, you think I'm asking you to do something I haven't done? Look at the cross. I made the ultimate sacrifice. There's no larger sacrifice that you can make than your life. So if we could love unconditionally like children, if we could have the empathy that children have for one another, if there didn't have to be conditions attached to helping someone, to loving someone. Now, children will tell the truth. We want to tell the truth as well. Now, sometimes children are brutally honest and they can hurt your feelings, but they tell the truth. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're called to tell the truth. Many churches tell the truth without gentleness, without love, without kindness. This church does not. This church loves unconditionally. And I want to encourage you in that. Continue that. But there's so many Christians in this world who only care about the truth. But truth without love is not truth. We have to have love and kindness and gentleness. We have to bear that fruit of the Spirit when we are telling others what about the truth. And on the other hand, the world wants nothing to do with truth. And that right now is the biggest crisis that our teenagers are facing. Our teenagers are in a position. I want you to think about being a teenager and you're not old enough to be an adult, but you're too old to be acting like a child. So what are they supposed to do? What does it look like to be a teenager? We can't act like children, but I want some responsibility. I want to do some things that help me be mature. No, you're not old enough to do that yet, but you're also too old to be doing this. And then we have an identity crisis. They're trying to figure out who they are. And many of them are looking at the world, and the world say, you can be whatever you want to be. You could be whatever you want to be. It's been a recent thing that that our society as a whole has recognized that mental health is a problem. It's a crisis. It's real. It is a real thing that many of us battle. Many of us have overcome it, but many of us are still battling through it. The spirit is battling. That is spiritual warfare. But the world is saying, you don't need help. Just feed into the low mental health. Whatever your mental health is telling you want to be, just be it. Don't get therapy. Don't look to religion. It's indoctrination. Just be what you feel like you need to be. And when they're doing that, they realize there's still a problem here. I'm still not what I feel like I should be. There's something within me that's telling me that I'm still wrong. I don't know what my identity is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. But we know that their identity is in Christ. Jesus is what can bring them out of that. Jesus is what can help them. Jesus is what can save them. And again, luckily, I'm so glad that we promote things like therapy, like group sessions, because those are necessary. We need those things to help them, to help us. But we have to understand that at the end of the day, Jesus is the one that gives them that freedom. Jesus is the one that frees us from it and helps us battle what we're battling. And so we have to understand that our teenagers are going through spiritual warfare right now with the identity. What is their identity? What is right and what is wrong? What's okay? What's acceptable? And so I'm here to implore on behalf of teenagers, let's be a little less hard on them. Let's be more willing to listen to what they have to say. Because they're on the front lines. You can see when you're in conversations in restaurants and on social media, you see people are complaining about that age group. It's falling, the world's falling apart. And I'm thinking, yes, and our teenagers in our churches, they're the ones on the front lines. They're the ones that's in this. They're the ones that's witnessing this. They're the ones that's battling this every day, battling these false doctrines just coming at them left and right. So let's invest in them. Let's listen to what they have to say. Because they're the ones that's walking among them. They're the ones that are walking among them. Like I said, we must be a church that presents the truth with kindness and gentleness and love. Yes, this world needs truth. They need to understand what is truth. What does Scripture say about it, about issues, about topics, about things that's going on in our world? We need to present that truth. But if we don't present it with love and kindness, no one's going to listen. I heard it best one time. It said, you have been given the God-given right to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But you have to earn the right to be heard. You have given the God-given right. It is a charge by God for us to go and tell and to show people who He is. But you have to earn the right to be heard. No one wants to listen when we are being harsh and there's no love in our words. We talk about love, love, love. And then you go out, you see people go out, and they just say these horrible things to people. So we have to understand that that's so important. But I also want to talk about, just real quick, some characters some people, real people who lived in this world in Scripture that were teenagers, that did wonderful things. The first one that comes to mind is Mary. Mary was a virgin. Many scholars believe she was somewhere between 12 and 14 years old. And an angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are going to have a child, and he is going to be the Savior of the world." Now, I want you to think back to when you were 12 or 14 years old and that happening to you, ladies. That's quite the charge. That's quite the responsibility given to a teenager. But God knew that she would respond and that she would follow and that she would serve him and that she would be obedient. And in that conversation with the angel, she says, I'll do whatever the Lord wants me to do. A 13-year-old. Imagine. Some of the disciples, they believe some of the disciples were teenagers. At least young adults. These young people dropped everything. Many of them says they were fishermen and they dropped their nets that they were casting with their dads and they went and followed Jesus. They dropped everything. Follow Jesus. No guarantee that they were going to eat. No guarantee they would have a place to sleep. No guarantee of their safety. I mean, look what happened to the disciples. They were all martyred for following Jesus. And some of them were teenagers, young adults. David. Many believe that David was around 15 when he went to fight Goliath. A shepherd boy, the run of the family, the youngest of the family, taking care of the sheep. And he goes to bring his brother's food. And he ends up taking down the greatest warrior that the Philistines had with a rock. This is a teenager we're talking about. And then the last one I think of is Jesus in the temple. And it says he was 12. We don't have to ask the scholars on that one. He's 12. And he's in the temple having religious conversations with these Pharisees, with the leaders, the religious leaders of the day. And I like to think he's in there blowing their minds. These people who have been studying this for years and years and years, and he just come in there and dropping truth bombs left and right. And they're thinking, where is this kid's parents? They probably knew he was going to be a problem at 12. They've been watching him since. But I say all that to say that teenagers have so much to give. They shouldn't be stuck in that middle ground. They have so much to give. They have so much. They are so valuable to the church. They're so valuable to the faith community. So valuable to the kingdom of heaven. I'm reminded of 1 Timothy 4:12. I think we have that one as well. Let no one look down on you, let no one down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. Paul is talking to Timothy here. Timothy is probably an older teenager, maybe a young adult. And he's saying, don't let them look it down on you. We see in the letters to Timothy, Paul is giving Timothy authority over the church. He's saying, I can't make it. Right? He said, I can't make it. I'm giving you authority. He says, don't let them look down on you because you're young. But be an example, and they'll listen. They'll see. They'll follow. This is a challenge I have for the teenagers. Be an example. Right, show them that you are valuable. Show them you have so much to give. I know our youth leaders could testify to this. They have so much to give. And we right now, we have a younger youth group. And they're wise beyond their years. They have so much to provide. And so we have to see them that way. I hear a lot of times that teenagers are the future. And I understand the sentiment. They're not the future. They're the present. Right now. Children are the present. Children, teenagers, preschool, they can do wonderful things. They can give us so much life. They can be leaders. We have to treat them that way. We have to see them that way. So I want to finish by saying I want to implore you as a church to continue to invest in your children and teenagers. If you volunteer with children or teenagers in any way, if you help on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, if you drive, if you check in, preschool, whatever it is, if you will, can you please stand up? And the reason that looks low is because the other half are actually doing the ministries right now. They're in preschool and they're in kids' church and they're doing things right now. Continue to invest. Continue to disciple these children and teenagers. Because as we've talked about many times, the world's only going to get tougher. It's only going to get harder. It's only going to oppose us more and more. We need to help disciple them so that they are ready. They are prepared. And that discipleship is here at the church, but it's also at home. I encourage you, break open the Bible. Spend 5 minutes with them. Just talking about what Scripture says. Just that little nugget every day can be enough. But I do want to say, if you're feeling the call, or you feel like you want to help, you want to volunteer in any form or fashion, and I want you to know there are things that you can do where you don't have to commit every week. A lot of times it's once a month. Whatever it is, whatever you can do, whatever you're willing to do, whatever you feel God has called you to do, I want you to answer that call. I want you to really think about what God is calling you to do. If you want to help with the children, the preschool, elementary, youth, I really want you to answer that call. Come see me after we're done. Come see Pastor Terry. Come see Pastor John, Terry Wilson, Gina. Liz is down in Kids Church, I believe, but you can talk to her as well. Come see us. Tell us what's on your heart. All right, we want to help you, and we want you to. I know that some of you may be nervous, and you say, I just don't know how good I am with the children. I feel like this, God has placed this in my heart. We're not going to throw you in the fire. We're not going to do that. Okay, we're going to help you, we're going to train you, we're going to ease you in. You're going to have workers around you that are going to help you. So I want you to really answer that call, to really think, is God calling me to be a helper, to be a volunteer, to help with these children and these youth? All right, I would like to pray. So let us pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the ability to wake up and to come and worship in your house. And I do thank you for our children. I thank you for our teenagers. I thank you for the blessings that they are to all of us. I thank you for giving us not only the opportunity, but the responsibility to invest in them, to disciple them, to see them grow, to see their own faith journeys. And I also pray for the families of those who have lost loved ones in Uvalde this week. We pray for our children in the schools. We pray for security, for protection. And we also pray for the hearts of those who've committed the evil crimes. We know that they are not beyond redemption, but we pray for them. But we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Woo. Great job. Great job. Great word. You know, one of the things in that passage about Jesus and the children and people bringing the children to him, one of the things that we often overlook is the attitude of the disciples. Don't bother him. So we don't need to take the approach of not being bothered with children. We need to invest in the children. So Let's not get to the attitude and say, I can't do children. Well, they'll do you. They may change you. That may be the very thing that you need, is spend a little bit of time with them. They kept keep me young. I mean, I got kids all the time coming up and hugging me and all, and it just helps you stay young. Amen. So make sure you listen. That's a great message, Austin. It's just a great message. It really was. So good. So good. One last thing. He says 50 to 55 people investing in lives here with children. Sounds like a lot. Children occupy 10 rooms in this facility. 10 rooms, 10 different places they have something going on. When you got 50 people in 10 rooms, that's not enough. Really, it's not. We need a good 20 more. We really do. We really need a good 20 more people to step up and say, hey, I'll do a little. I'll do what is it? You know, I can do once a month. I can do every other month. I can do just whatever. Because it is a huge ministry. We invest a lot in the ministry. But we are investing in the present. But they will become our future. Amen. And we need to do that. So listen to his appeal. Pray about it. Find out what it is that you can possibly do. And I don't know of another ministry that takes that many rooms to function. You hear me? So think about it. Pray about it. And once again, Austin, I'm just amazed at what came out of you today. He's only 26. Listen, I think when he came on board, I said he was 18 or 16 or something like that. I don't know what made him younger. No, I think what I did, he had a 18, 16. Yeah, he had an 18-year-old son. I said, yeah, he's got an 18-year-old son, and he's only 26, so he's, you know, anyway. I get mixed up every once in a while. But great word, great. How many of you enjoyed today in the Lord? It was just a good day. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Just an awesome time. Awesome time. All right. Now, we only need 20 more. So don't come at me with 40 people. I just need 20. I'm messing with you. We'll take the 40. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word today that came out of this young man. And thank you for the time of worship, the freedom that we've had, the awesomeness of gathering together without having guns outside. Lord, it's such an honor to be in this freedom that you have provided, both in Christ and in this great land. Bless everyone, bless every family, and Lord, as we spend time celebrating and honoring those that went on to give their life, Lord, help us to be very conscious of the fact that we do not need to forget our history and those who made the great sacrifice. We love you, we thank you, we worship you. And we speak blessings over every home, every life, every child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.